Hare Krishna. We shall read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 7, Chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 44. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Please repeat. Prayena.
Prayena.
Deva.
Deva.
Munaya.
Munaya.
Sva.
Sva.
Vimuktikama.
Maunam,
maunam, charanti,
charanti,
vijane,
vijane,
na,
na,
pararthanishta,
pararthanishta,
na,
na,
etan,
etan,
vihaya,
vihaya,
kripanan,
kripanan,
Vimumukshe,
Vimumukshe,
Eka,
Eka,
Na,
Na,
Anyam,
Anyam,
Tvat,
Tvat,
Asya,
Asya,
Sharanam,
Sharanam,
Brahmata,
Brahmata,
Anupashye,
Anupashye,
Prayena deva munaya svavimuktikama monam charanti vijanena pararta nishta naitan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko nanyam tvadasya sharanam pamato nupasye Prayena deva munayo svavimuktikama monam charanti vijanena pararta nishta naitan vihaya kripanan vimumuksha eko nanyam tvadasya sharanam samato nupasye Prayena, generally, in almost all cases,
Deva,
O my Lord,
Munaya,
the great saintly persons,
Sva,
personal,
Personal.
Own. Vimuktikama.
Vimuktikama.
Ambitious for liberation.
Ambitious for liberation.
From this material world.
From this material world.
Monam.
Monam.
Silently.
Silently.
Charanti.
Charanti.
They wander.
They wander.
In places like the Himalayan forests.
In places like the Himalayan forests.
Where they have no touch with the activities of the materialists.
Where they have no touch with the activities of the materialists.
Vijane.
Vijane.
In solitary places.
In solitary places.
Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Para artha nishta. Interested in working for others. By giving them the benefit. Of the Krishna consciousness movement. By enlightening them. With Krishna consciousness. Na. Not. Etan.
These.
Vihaya.
Leaving aside.
Kripanan.
Fools and rascals.
Engaged in materialistic activities. Who do not know the benefit. Of the human form of life. Vimumukshe.
I desire to be liberated.
And to return home back to Godhead. Eka.
Alone.
Na.
Not.
Anyam.
Other.
Twat.
But for you.
Asya.
Of this.
Sharanam.
Shelter.
Brahmata.
Of the living entity.
Rotating and wandering.
Throughout the material universes.
Anupashye.
Do I see?
Translation. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are interested only in their own deliverance, not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas or the forest to meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to shelter at your lotus feet. Please repeat. My dear Lord Nrisimhadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed. But they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns. They go to the Himalayas. Or the forest. To meditate with vows of silence. They are not interested in delivering others.
As for me, however,
I do not wish to be liberated alone. Leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness,
without taking shelter of your lotus feet,
one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back.
Therefore, I wish to bring them back.
To shelter at your lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is the decision of the Vaishnava, the pure devotee of the Lord. For himself, he has no problems, even if he has to stay in the material world, because his only business is to remain in Krishna consciousness. The Krishna conscious person can go even to hell and still be happy. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj said, Naivo dvijay paraduratyaya vaitaranya. O best of the great personalities, I am not at all afraid of material existence. The pure devotee is never unhappy in any condition of life. This is confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 6:17:28. Narayana parasarve na kutaschana bibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshu apituyartha darshinaha. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. For them, the heavenly planets, liberation, and the hellish planets are all the same. For such devotees are interested only in the service of the Lord. For a devotee, being situated in the heavenly planets and being in the hellish planets are equal. For a devotee lives neither in heaven nor in hell, but with Krishna in the spiritual world. The secret of success for the devotee is not understood by the karmis and jnanis. Karmis therefore try to be happy by material adjustment. And jnanis want to be happy by becoming one with the Supreme. The devotee has no such interest. He is not interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest. Rather, his interest is in the busiest part of the world, where he teaches people Krishna consciousness. The Krishna consciousness movement was started for this purpose. We do not teach one to meditate in a secluded place just so that one may show that he has become very advanced and may be proud of his so-called transcendental meditation, although he engages in all sorts of foolish materialistic activity. A Vaishnav like Prahlad Maharaj is not interested in such a bluff of spiritual advancement. Rather, he is interested in enlightening people in Krishna consciousness, because that is the only way for them to become happy. Prahlad Maharaj states clearly, Nanyam twadasya sharanam pramato nupasye. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. One wanders within the universe, life after life. But by the grace of a devotee, a servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can get the clue to Krishna consciousness and then not only become happy in this world, but also return home back to Godhead. That is the real target in life. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement are not at all interested in so-called meditation in the Himalayas or the forest, where one will only make a show of meditation. nor are they interested in opening many schools for yoga and meditation in the cities. Rather, every member of the Krishna consciousness movement is interested in going door to door to try to convince people about the teachings of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of the Hare Krishna movement. The members of the Krishna consciousness movement must be fully convinced that without Krishna, one cannot be happy. Thus, the Krishna conscious person avoids all kinds of pseudo-spiritualists, transcendentalists, meditators, monists, philosophers, and philanthropists. Hare Krishna. This verse is very important, and Srila Prabhupada quoted it often. It distinguishes the mood of a Vaishnava preacher, a Gostiyanandi, from the mood of a monist or a Bhajananandi, a yogi. And it was the mood of Prahlad Maharaj. It was the mood of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. It was the mood of Srila Prabhupada. And it is the mood of Srila Prabhupada's of sincere followers. It is the mood that every follower of Srila Prabhupada is meant to have. In fact, if we consider where we are now in the Pandavasena or in the Krishna consciousness movement, were it not for Srila Prabhupada, we would not be here. And if we were not here, where would we be? Each one of us can imagine where we would be. And it probably would not be a very pretty place. Just before coming into the hall, I was speaking with Vishnumurti Prabhu, who has a project called Vanipedia, which is meant to make Srila Prabhupada's Vani, his words, available in a very systematic way on the internet. And the way that Srila Prabhupada's Vani is being presented so meticulously and analytically has never been done for any other spiritual teacher, and it cannot be done for any other spiritual teacher because they don't have the depth and breadth of teachings that Srila Prabhupada has. And he gave the example that if a spiritual seeker is looking for teachings, they might see something. You know, like you might see an insect or something. Oh, that looks interesting. But then you look more closely and like, that's ugly. But with Srila Prabhupada's teachings, the same thing. Oh, this looks interesting. You look at it and say, wow, that's beautiful. Wow, I didn't know that was there. So, we want to make Srila Prabhupada's teachings, which are the teachings of Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita as it is, the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Parampara, available to people. That is our mission, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. That is the purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement. And Srila Prabhupada gave his life for that purpose. His Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, gave his life for that purpose. And we are also meant to give our lives for the same purpose. Now, young people have their educations to pursue, their careers to pursue. And that is well and good. We have two examples, which I am going to cite. One is Srila Prabhupada and one is his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was brilliant, to say the least. He had a photographic memory, which means that he could read something once and remember every word. It's like he could take a photograph of a mental photograph of every page and refer to it in his mind. So the schools had to buy books, especially for him, because he read all the books in the library and he remembered every word on every page in every book. And he was extraordinary. He was extraordinary. And so many people saw a very brilliant future for him. But I guess in modern terminology we could say he dropped out. He dropped out. Because he felt that if he continued, because he had such a brilliant future ahead of him, that there would be all sorts of pressure on him to pursue his brilliant future in the material world, which he didn't want to do. He didn't want to be a great success in the material world. So that was one course. He was a lifelong brahmachari, and from the very beginning he dedicated himself to the mission of his father, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Srila Prabhupada, he was also a bright student, and he was very successful in his career. He married, he had his wife, he had several children, he was successful. And at a certain stage, things started to go wrong from the material point of view. One astrologer had predicted that he would become the wealthiest man in India. But different things started to go wrong in his business, and they culminated once when he was traveling for business, and his employee just ransacked his office, his store, and stole everything. And it was such a devastating blow that Srila Prabhupada's business never recovered. And he was wondering, why is this happening? You know, what's going wrong? It seems like everything is going wrong. And he came across a verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, and he thought, maybe this is the answer. And the verse says, Yasya ham anugrinami harishye taddanam shanai. The verse is spoken by Lord Krishna to Maharaj Yudhisthira. You know how the Pandavas suffered. You're the Pandava Sena, so you're probably thinking how the Pandavas were victorious, which is there. But the Pandavas also suffered. So Lord Krishna explained to Maharaj Yudhisthira, Yasya ham anugrinami harishye taddanam shanai. That when I am especially mercifully inclined to some devotee, the first installment of my special mercy is I take away all of his material opulence. And generally, people are popular when they have money. And if they lose their money, they lose a lot of their so-called friends and so-called relatives. And so the person suffers doubly. He loses his opulence, and he loses the so-called respect and affection of his so-called friends and relatives. And in that condition, he gives up his false hopes to enjoy the material world and surrenders to Krishna. Now, both of these examples, I am quite sure, run very contrary to your plans for yourselves. In fact, you might even be thinking, if this is the future that awaits me in the Krishna consciousness movement, maybe I'm in the wrong movement. So, I will give you a third example that might be a little more palatable. And then I will analyze the relative merits of the different examples. So the example is of Dr. N.D. Desai, who was eventually initiated as Sri Navji Das. Dr. Desai's father, D.D. Desai, was a member of parliament and in India, and a very shrewd businessman. And he built up a very big business. And one day, while he was in Malaysia, he died suddenly. And the body was brought back, and I took part in the funeral procession and so on. And I had friends who were very high in the business circles in Bombay. So they told me what the talk was in the business circles. The talk was that Mr. D.D. Desai was a very shrewd businessman, and he built up a very big business enterprise in specialty oils and cables. But Dr. N.D. Desai, his son, was sort of a like a Pollyanna, like a sort of simple, innocent person, and who probably wouldn't be able to maintain the business. And Dr. Desai was a devotee. He became a devotee, and he became quite a serious devotee. And he would get up early every morning. He would do puja and say prayers, similar to what we do in the temple and ISKCON temples. And he would chant his rounds very seriously. Once I visited his home early in the morning, he was sitting on his sofa. I mean, not like Western sofa, but like Indian, like a, you know, carved wood and silk, and chanting very seriously, very seriously. And sometime thereafter, he brought out a new line, Seema Bulbs, and it was like a major advertising campaign around Bombay, and I was like, something about those billboards were like very attractive. There was just something about them, very attractive. And I had this thought that, you know, Krishna in the heart was giving him intelligence how to execute his business. And he even told me that, you know, he gets most of his good insights into how to execute his business from getting up early in the morning and doing his puja and chanting his rounds. And I also thought that he was, the Krishna in the heart was like inspiring people to appreciate his product and buy it. And it became a huge success. And like one after the other, he was opening up new businesses that were very successful. And his father's business multiplied. It became 10 times more than it was when his father was alive. And now it may be 20 times, 50 times. So, this example is the example that most people like, that you can be Krishna conscious and wealthy and happy and healthy, and it was very good. I would invite people I was cultivating to Srinathji's house for prasad, and they say, wow, you know, become Krishna conscious. You live in this palace, you have so much money. So that is an example. And, you know, Srinathji Das has done tremendous service. But still, if we compare that service to what Srila Prabhupada did, or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur did, well, it's not of the same magnitude. Now, this is a very delicate topic, because in the early days of the Krishna consciousness movement, young people joined. If they were studying, they might have given up their studies. If they had a job, they might have given up their job, and they dedicated themselves fully to the mission. But then, after some time, they might have got married, had children, felt that life in the temple was not sustainable, moved out of the temple, had to earn, and might have felt they weren't so prepared to earn because they gave up their education or work at an early stage, and, you know, maybe even felt they were sort of starting late and competing with people who were younger. So, you know, from a certain point of view, they were in a difficult situation. And so, you know, the general, I'm not completely sure, but I think generally now we're cautious about people giving up their educations and careers, and advise, you know, you should think about it. Are you able to live as a brahmachari for your whole life? And, you know, if you marry, what are you going to do? How will you maintain yourself? And so on. But our subject here, as devised by Shruti Dharma Prabhu and Sahil Agarwal, is preaching that the members of the Pandava Sena should dedicate themselves more fully to preaching. And that can be done in any situation. I didn't give the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was, you know, a very prominent person in the world. He's a magistrate. He had many children, but he also preached. He would, maybe sleep a few hours at night, and he would get up, he would write books, he would do his worship, he would chant, and then he would, you know, go to his office, magistrate's office, and he did so many things due to his intense devotion and enthusiasm. And discipline, you could say, but the discipline was a manifestation of his devotion. And he did a huge amount. Even though for most of his life he was in Grihastha Ashram, he was called the seventh Goswami. So we have so many examples of acharyas that we can follow. But the key in each case is, you would say, intensity. Intensity. And there's a verse in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Akama sarva kama va moksha kama gudarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Which means that whether one has no desires, whether one is desirous of many material things, or whether one desires liberation from material bondage, one should worship the Supreme Lord, Krishna, by bhakti yoga. And the word tivrena means with great intensity. So it doesn't matter what your condition is, what your mood is, what your desires are. If you worship Krishna in bhakti yoga with intensity, you can achieve the supreme destination. So that is important. And for that intensity to develop, you need to associate with pure devotees who are intense and in their practice of Krishna consciousness. Once Srila Prabhupada said, Krishna consciousness is 90% association. Association is so important. And you're fortunate you have this association. And it is good, and it can become thicker and sweeter. Srila Prabhupada gave the example of boiling the milk. Milk is good, but if you boil it, then the water evaporates and the milk gets thicker. Then you could have kheer and malai and all sorts of nice things. So Srila Prabhupada received the instruction to preach at the very first meeting with his spiritual master. You can just see, Srila Prabhupada was newly married. He had his promising career. And straight away, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed him to preach. And, you know, Srila Prabhupada's life ran its course. He had children and his business and so on. As he tells the story, because he was newly married, he felt that he, you know, had to continue with his family responsibilities, and he wanted to earn money to use for the cause of Krishna consciousness. course, then he said, that was my mistake. I should have taken it up immediately. But better late than never. But it's also Prabhupada's. It's very hard to know the mind of the acharya. You can't actually know, but that's what he said. But from a certain, from another point of view, is everything Prabhupada did was perfect, and it was all orchestrated by Krishna. So he came to New York, began the movement from New York, San Francisco, Boston, Montreal. Then the three couples came to London, and gradually the movement spread throughout the world. And therefore we are here. And where would we be if we were not here? You know, might not be a very pretty place. So we should feel grateful to Srila Prabhupada and indebted to him, and we should want to repay our debt. And as he said, the way to repay your debt to the spiritual master, although you can never repay your debt, but you can try by preaching vigorously. Prabhupada said, if you want to try to repay your debt to me, you should preach vigorously like I am doing. Now, to preach, you have to have conviction. To preach properly, you have to be convinced that the only way to be happy is to be Krishna conscious. You can have that conviction in a theoretical way by understanding the philosophy. But you can have the realization when you actually experience the happiness of Krishna consciousness. And that is important. That is important. Today I visited the Bhaktivedanta Manor School. And there was a sign board. You know, chanting Hare Krishna makes you feel happy, peaceful, a whole list of wonderful effects of chanting Hare Krishna. And that is all true. If you chant properly. But there's another type of chanting inattentive chanting that doesn't bring those results. In fact, when we had a japa workshop in Lunchmore Heath 2 years ago, we had the participants tell us how they felt after a good chanting session. It was like that, happy, enlivened, inspired, enthusiastic. And then, you know, how did they feel when they didn't really have a good chanting session? Depressed, discouraged, frustrated, you know, the loss of self-esteem, and so on. So looking at that list in the schoolroom, I thought, yeah, that's true if it's done properly, which it should be. There's no reason why it shouldn't be. But there could also be another list. So to be convinced that only by Krishna consciousness can one become happy, to be really convinced, one should experience the happiness of Krishna consciousness, and that will come through good association and the proper execution of the practices of Krishna consciousness. When I read the purport about going door to door with the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita as it is, the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, I thought of our god brother Vaisheshika Das. He literally goes door to door on a regular basis. And on the request of senior devotees, he's writing a book about book distribution. So when I stayed with him in San Jose, we spoke about the book. And he said, you know, like he described the different sections, and he said the first section, or one of the sections, was the importance of sadhana. And he was saying that the book distribution, or the desire to preach, is the overflow of the bliss that one experiences through one's sadhana. So that's a very important point. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur also said that the best Gostiyanandi preacher is a Bhajanandi who preaches. Someone who relishes ananda. Ananda means happiness. Bhajanananda, one who relishes the bhajan, the practices of Krishna consciousness. So we need both. We want to relish and then share. And that's the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Guru Parampara. So we want to have, good chanting and dancing and feasting and philosophy and spreading, wanting to bring people. And of course, good relationships. Loving relationships among the devotees are also very important. You'll want to bring people to that association. And when they see that association, they'll want to become part of it. So, this is like a complete package that Srila Prabhupada has given us, and just have to take advantage. Part of the description of what might subject was supposed to be, or my talk was supposed to be, was some stories about Srila Prabhupada related to preaching. Again, reading the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes the verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6:17:28. Narayana prasarvena kutischaka bibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshu apituya the darshana. That a devotee is equal in any situation. He may be in heaven or hell or liberated, but for him it's all the same because he has taken shelter of Krishna. And as Srila Prabhupada said in another purport, that it's because the devotee doesn't live in heaven or hell, but he lives with Krishna. So once some devotees approach Srila Prabhupada to discuss his schedule of preaching programs, and saying, you know, should we do this, should we do that, would you like to do this, would you like to do that? And Srila Prabhupada said, I am like a cow. Wherever you take me, I will give milk. That's the same idea. The same idea. The same in every situation. And another time they were asking him, again, trying to plan the schedule, and one of the disciples asked, you know, like, what would be convenient? And Prabhupada said, when you preach, you can't think of your convenience. When you preach, there are many inconveniences, so it's not the right question to ask. But that's what a preacher is. That's what a servant of Guru and Gauranga does. He accepts a lot of inconveniences. And in discussing this difference between Bhajanandi and Ghosti Anandi, Prabhupada makes the point that Bhajanandi may not want to face all the difficulties in preaching. But that's on a certain level. There's, you know, I mean, we have our Sangha groups and it's all pretty convenient and easy and congenial, so it's, don't have to worry about that too much. But when you really go out to a new place, although there are a lot of challenges, but the mercy you get is also extraordinary. So it's sort of like that. Another incident that came to mind was when we were with Srila Prabhupada in Amritsar, in Punjab. Prabhupada had been invited to a Vedanta Sammelan. And so there was like a morning and evening session in the Pandal. But apart from the Vedanta Sammelan, Srila Prabhupada received many invitations every day to go to people's homes, to their societies, to their temples. And Prabhupada was accepting many engagements every day. And Gurudas Prabhu, who's like the senior man on the party, approached Srila Prabhupada on behalf of the disciples, saying, we can't keep up with you. You know, we have to chant our rounds, we have to do our laundry, and we have dysentery, we have to go to we have to be careful of what we eat, and, you know, we can't keep up with you. So Srila Prabhupada said, okay, I will accept only 2 engagements per day. So he minimized the number of engagements, and for a while it was going on like that, but then he started to accept more. And, you know. And then one day, he had 7 engagements. And the way it worked is generally that the host would bring a car for Srila Prabhupada, and the rest of us would go by rickshaw. And so, you know, generally the car got there faster than the rickshaws. So I remember I was like, each program I was falling a little bit further behind. And then by about the 5th program, you know, I was getting there just as Prabhupada was getting ready to leave and go to the next program. And then the 7th program was, I'm not even sure what it was, but the people were very devotional. I could feel it in the atmosphere, and I could sense it by the way Srila Prabhupada was speaking to them. They were very devotional. And Srila Prabhupada was speaking in Hindi. Often he would speak in English so that his disciples could understand him. But in this case he was speaking in Hindi, and I think because he knew they were really eager to hear and they could only understand Hindi. And by some mystical arrangement of Krishna, I could pretty much understand what Srila Prabhupada was saying, even though I didn't know Hindi. Of course, he would quote verses that I was familiar with, so that helped. But like some, of course, I don't really know if I understood it properly, but I thought I was understanding it. And it was wonderful. So then, at the end of that program, you know, Srila Prabhupada got in his car, went back to the ashram where we were being hosted, the Vedanta ashram. And, you know, we followed by rickshaw and got a little later. And when we got back, I saw that the light was on in Srila Prabhupada's room. I thought, wow, you know, I thought after such a long day, Prabhupada would be taking rest. So I mean, we weren't supposed to. I didn't think it was right, but to like peek inside. But I was just so curious to know what Prabhupada was doing. It was probably like 11 at night or 11:30 at night. So I sort of snuck up to, you know, crouched and snuck up to the window and then peeped in. And he was sitting on his asan, you know, with his bolster, leaning against the wall, relaxed, playing the tape recording of the talk that he had just given. And then I thought, wow, you know, he's like really relishing. And like he said, he doesn't speak. Krishna speaks, and he's speaking about Krishna. So it's Krishna, any way you look at it. He was relishing Krishna, associating with Krishna. So he had that enthusiasm, and on another occasion later, in late 1976, some life member friends from Pune, they had a house and a hill station in Panchgani, which is sort of like a neighboring town to Mahabaleshwar. The hill stations in Maharashtra, they say like the Kashmir of Maharashtra. And then they say that Kashmir is the Switzerland of India. So, so So anyway, we went to their house in Pune and met up with them, and then we drove to Panchgani Mahabaleshwar. And after lunch, Srila Prabhupada took a little nap. And they're like the brothers, three brothers and their wives, the Malhotras. So they went out. They wanted to go into the town, I don't know, maybe do some shopping. And so Prabhupada and the few disciples who were with him stayed back. And at a certain point, after his nap, Srila Prabhupada came out into the drawing room and sat down on the sofa. And he wanted to preach. So, you know, he saw Prabhupada sitting there, so we came out and he just started to preach. You know, just wanted to talk about Krishna, wanted to preach. And, you know, after some time, eventually the brothers and their wives came back and then they sat down and there was more discussion. He just wanted to preach to whoever it was. And one of Prabhupada's servants told me that too. Sometimes Prabhupada would be alone in the room and Prabhupada would call him in and just start to preach. Just wanted to preach to someone. So that's our life. Like one evening, it was often like that during when Prabhupada would be in Bombay. I'd go out in the day and meet people, and then in the evening, give him a report. So once, you know, I came back, I was very enlivened and enthusiastic, and I said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, I really like this preaching. And he said, not like this preaching, but this preaching is our life. And there's so many practical examples of advice he gave me. Like there was one man who was avoiding me. You know, I mean, we knew who the big people were and we were systematically pursuing them. And this one, he had a shipping company, very big shipping company. Somehow he was avoiding me. We had many ways of getting in, but we could never get through to him. Sometimes if you could get into the office, they would be, I mean, not the office building, but like his personal chamber, they would be, you know, they'd be polite enough, but not him. I just could not get through. So somehow I found out where he lived. And anyway, whatever it is. So I met him. And, you know, he was, he seemed like a little proud, you know. He said, you know, what can I do for you? So I didn't like his mood, so I said, well, I've come to do something for you. He said, well, what can you do for me? And I said, well, I've come to engage you in Krishna's service. So anyway, he took, an advertisement, collecting advertisements for a souvenir. But when I went back and told the, gave the report to Srila Prabhupada, he said, you know, when you preach, you have to be very humble. And, you know, if you go to people and tell them, you know, everything belongs to Krishna and you're a thief, and, you know, I've come to
get Krishna's stolen property and return it to Krishna, they won't like it. But if you say, you know, I've come to your doorstep as a beggar. And, oh, a beggar has come. Okay, give him something. And I didn't make the connection at the time, but now I'm making the connection. Once I saw Srila Prabhupada do that himself. We were with him in Indore. It was like that from Amritsar, Gurudas and Jamuna and three others of us got down in Delhi. Prabhupada told us to see what you can do. And then from Delhi, we went to Indore for the Gita Jayanti conference. But the same thing, apart from that program, which was morning and evening, Prabhupada received so many invitations. So one day we went to someone connected with the royal family, and the more senior devotees, Prabhupada sent them out, and so was me and some more junior devotees, but none of us could really make life members yet. So Prabhupada himself showed them, he told us, you know, just show them the books and, you know, tell them about the activity, show them the books, and they'll become life members. So Prabhupada showed him the books, and he said, Swamiji, we already have these books in Hindi. You don't need these books. And Prabhupada became very stern. He said, I have not come here to sell you some books. I've come as a beggar at your doorstep. And, oh, yes, Swamiji, yes, yes, I will become your member. I was like, yeah, he did that. So then after the man became a life member, he took us into his dining room. It's like a banquet hall, you know, a beautiful big carved wood banquet table, nice upholstered chairs. And Prabhupada was sitting at the head of the table, and because, you know, I was the most senior in that particular group, I was to his right-hand side, and then there were other devotees. And then they brought in this fantastic feast. I mean, it looked fantastic, but, you know, we had a lot of dysentery in those days, so it was every feast was sort of fraught with conflicting emotions. So it was like that, wow, it looks so good, but am I going to be able to digest it? But anyway, so we it was really well prepared, pure ghee, and very, just the sight of it was very attractive, so many different colors and textures. So then at the end, the man's father, he's probably an 80-year-old man. They had everything. I mean, savories and just all sorts of delicacies. Then he came around with rasgullas. There was already a rasgulla on each plate. So he wanted me to take seconds. And I didn't want to. Because I was like sitting right next to Srila Prabhupada. I was a brahmachari, you know, trying to be a staunch brahmachari. I didn't want Prabhupada to think I'm like a sense gratifier. So the man's father, it's like he kept insisting, he really wanted me to take one more, and I kept, you know, and he was like getting upset. And then Prabhupada like glanced at me with like so much love and affection and mercy, and he smiled and said, you can take another rascal to make an old man happy. Okay. And I was, yeah. So there are so many experiences, wonderful experiences. It's an adventure. Preaching is an adventure. Yeah. And especially in those early days, some very wild adventures. There was one, I wasn't there, but Tamal Krishna Goswami and Garga Muni met a man, I think in Bihar. That particular trip, they also went to Indore. Not sure exactly where it took place, and they ended up in Bihar. But there was a man who's like really rich, but like really proud, and sort of, you know, yeah, he was proud. He wasn't really very devotional, but you know, somewhat. You know, in those days, people were a little more cultured in India. They had more etiquette. So, you know, you could see that these devotees were like really zealous. You know, they're like really zealous, and they really wanted to make him a life member, and like they would do anything to make him a life member. And they might have even said it, you know, what do we have to do? Because he wasn't agreeing. They said, what do we have to do to make you a life member? So he had ordered limkas for them, like the Indian version of 7-Up. So he said, if each of you pour your limca over your head, I'll become your life member. And they did it. They did it, and he became a life member. So you have to be humble to preach, like Prabhupada said. All right, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.